Sometimes I look at my children and want to cry, to apologize to them, not for specific things I've said and done, for I would be there for days, but for not being able to do this, to do it. No laughing in the back. What do I mean by do it? To be alive, to live, to move through existence, knowing existence, capable of existing, I don't know. To believe as I pinched my flesh that something was there, I can't put my finger on it, let alone pinch it. But the feeling is so overwhelming. I'm a shank awaiting the spit. I'm not even a whole body. No, it's true. I was on the farm, where I'd been since God knows when. Then I was scooped up, having run headlong into eventualities, where I lived in a flat somewhere busy. The market would start early, and was half finished by the time I went to work. Coming home from a half day, I swear I saw people sweeping up the mess under the stalls, making the street all right. Remember how I said I sometimes look at my children and want to cry? I'm thrust forward to a hospital bed where I'm attached to various wires and pumping computer confabulations. The AI is assessing my likelihood of surviving the night, but I feel okay, like I could just go home. My son and daughter are there, middle-aged, I think, or just worn down. They let me call them Mummy and Daddy, but they say I can't leave. They're sobbing sometimes, as do I. The AI begins thanking me, shutting down each support system one by one. Something of me gets up to go. Before it switches itself to sleep mode, the AI says somberly, "Mummy and Daddy have gone off to live as orphans." I turn back and there's nothing left of me on the bed, just ruffled sheets and an indentation on the mattress. I tell the nurse I pass that the bed is free. "I'm so sorry," she says, gazing downward, her lip trembling slightly. I try to speak to make her feel better. There's a knot in my stomach. I'm not good in these situations, never knowing how to comfort someone who's just experienced such a loss. A hand on the shoulder is too forward. "Sorry for your loss," so cliché. "I could help tidy up," I suggest, moving some papers around on the countertop. She looks at me for the first time, wiping her cheek. "No, but thank you, I have a system, it's quite particular."
Recounting this to you loud here,
I'm seeing myself standing in the kitchen. An image of a single line drawn is laid out on my desk. This line, I'm told by my granddaughter, who has just finished clearing up after dinner, is describing a journey through a vast heterogeneity, one movement amongst a vast churning body. From within the churn, illustrated in pencil, the sheet of paper, the churning, the pencil line, a representation, diachronic. She sits me down to elaborate further, placing a weak, yellow-tinted tea before me. I'm tired and asked to go to bed, but she is firm in her resolve, positioning her hand on my shoulder to stop my upward motion. Apparently years stacked up, individual identical units, one on top of the other, though you could see them as side by side, so together they form a line similar to the pencil one. These units, when taken themselves to be individual, picture one removed from the line and held up on its own, are also able to be broken down further into smaller individual identical units. In front of us is the future, apparently made up of more individual identical units, though we are all unsure of how many. As long as the lungs inflate and deflate, I suppose, she concludes. We sit there still, silent. How many units before I can sleep?